members who have joined us. And I want to specially thank God for them. I want to thank God for our brother Chester and our sister Mindy, who are able to join us after having been with us for several months. I also am so glad to see Elvis and his whole family. And at dinner, they were sitting together with Kapo and the family, 6 and 5 equals 11. I asked you just now, as I spoke to them, I said, do you know this little boy who sits beside you? He says, yes. He gave me his name, Elgin. I said, Elgin what? Don't know. So ask him, Elgin Lim. Elgin knows that there is Luke Tan. I think it's good, a time of interaction, to find out about each other, to be mindful of each other. We must not forget to thank God for making this camp possible. Please do not take this for granted. It is indeed a privilege and a joy. I can say that throughout my Christian life, since I was converted in the year 1955, I've never missed one Bible camp. Life Church, on to Calvary Jurong, to Pandan, and to Tenga. It is so good to be with God's people. It is a foretaste of home in heaven. It is so good to be able to encourage and strengthen one another. This time I'm especially happy because I've got 3 other brothers with me, and we call ourselves the foursome, and we are going to spend time together, and the whole objective is to encourage one another in the Word of God. Let us remember, as we feast together the Word of God, let us remember 4 things that I've mentioned to many of you. And that is, please saturate God's Word in your mind. Store God's Word in your heart. Show God's Word in your life. And share God's Word with the world. Our theme this time is biblical disciple making. Thank God that among the millions, God has chosen us and called us to be His disciples. Not just to be disciples, but to be disciple makers. That we may reach out to other people to bring others into the kingdom before the King returns. There is indeed an urgency in this matter. And throughout this camp, it is my prayer for myself that the Lord would revive my heart and help me to love Him even more and to go out to speak for Him and to reach out to those who are still outside His kingdom. Thank God that as a church at Tenga, we are a mission-minded church. May we all continue so to be. Local missions as well as foreign missions. What I'm going to say to you tonight is only an appetizer. The main dish will be coming tomorrow. The first dish will be dished out at 7:45. The cook is Dr. Paul Ferguson. Please come, pray for our dear brother as he brings a series of 5 morning devotions. Come prepared to receive God's blessings. And then the bigger portion will be served out by Dr. Das Koshi in 8 messages. Please remember him in prayer, that he may be empowered by the Spirit of God to feed us with the Word of God, that we may return nourished in His Word, equipped to serve Him even better. Thank God for the efforts. Oh, sorry, I thought Siu Kiang was waving at me. Are you waving? Oh, you're putting on, sorry, she was putting on. Thank God for the labor of love of the camp committee. You know, they have labored so hard. They've been here several times on their own time, looking and organizing so that you and I can be comfortable. There will be certain shortfalls, shortcomings, no matter what you do and how you do. But let us remember one thing. In order that all of us will be happy and be blessed, let us consider 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In all things, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Some inconvenience, some discomfort, some awkward moments, give thanks. Let us understand that they have labored so hard, and we must uphold them in our prayers. Let us give them a hand of appreciation for what they have done. Yeah, really. They have worked very hard, and we don't want to take them for granted. They have spent many, many hours putting the program together, thinking of our interest, and we bless them in the name of the Lord. Let us pause a moment of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this camp which thou hast made possible. Thank you for safety in travel and in bringing each one of us in health and strength, that as we look forward with great expectancy to the following days in which we will be fed with your word. Lord, we ask that you will give us a hunger and thirst for your word. And Lord, teach us by your Holy Spirit many precious lessons that we may go away from here better equipped to be a disciple maker for you. Forgive us, dear Lord, of the many times we have failed you, our faithlessness, our lovelessness. I ask that you will energize each one, and by your Spirit's enabling, we may be challenged to go forth with greater zeal and fervor in the work which thou hast entrusted us to do, that we may give of our best to the Master who gave his life for us. May thou be merciful to each one of us, and in the days ahead, we may seek in our fellowship one with another to encourage and to strengthen, considering always to provoke unto love and to good works as we see the day approaching. This is our earnest prayer, asking your special blessings upon our pastor designate, Dr. Paul Ferguson, and also for Dr. Reverend Das Koshi, as they minister to us your word. May your Holy Spirit empower them and give us teachable hearts to receive your word with gladness. This evening, as we open the pages of scriptures, may thou instruct us therein, that we may walk the path that Jesus walked, that we may walk well-pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, and we'll read selected verses. Verses 1 and 2, verse 7, and then verses 10 to 13. I repeat, Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2, verse 7, and verses 10 to 13. Please turn to Isaiah and let us read these 7 verses together. Right? Please find your passage and let's read the verses together. Let us together. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I call thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and to the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle on thee. Verse 7. Even every one that is called by my name, for I created him for my glory. I formed him, yea, I made him. Verses 10 to 13. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved. I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Tonight, we hear God speaking to us. I've entitled what I'm going to say as The Great Gospel Enterprise. The Great Gospel Enterprise. As we broach upon this topic and theme of biblical discipleship, disciple making, towards biblical disciple making, we are all in a great enterprise, and the Lord whom we serve in this great enterprise is none other than the Lord God, Jehovah, Yahweh, the covenant God, the one who created us, our creator, our redeemer, the one that formed us, the one that called us unto salvation in Jesus Christ. And this same God who saved us has commanded us to be his witnesses. In verse 10 we are told, in the words of the Lord himself, ye are my witnesses. Dearly beloved, we are in this great gospel enterprise. An enterprise that has no recession. An enterprise that is ongoing and will never end until we come and see the Lord face to face. What a great enterprise it is. Each one of us who has been called by his name, he says, you are my witness, to each one of us individually and to us as a church. We are all to be his witnesses. The same words are uttered by the Lord Jesus himself before he ascended to heaven. You remember when his disciples gathered together, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come down upon them, and how Jesus said to them, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We are called to be witnesses because you and I, who have come to know the Lord, have experienced the salvation grace, that grace that has changed us from sinners to saints, from the road that led to destruction to the road that leads to everlasting life, that one day we will be with him in glory forever and ever. And the God who has saved us is the God who assures us and says to us, fear not. There are many dangers in this enterprise. Dearly beloved, the road is not going to be smooth. It will be filled with many dangers. But the Lord God who formed us, who created us, who called us, says to us, fear not, because He is with us. He will lead us through every trial and temptation. He'll lead us through every trouble. You know, as we read the Word of God, we are so encouraged to know that the God who formed us and saved us never leaves us alone. His presence is always with us. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How wonderful it is to know the very presence of the Lord. You know, I remember asking my father at the age of 71 when he was converted. Some months afterwards, I asked him, I said, Father, what is the greatest joy in your heart besides knowing that you are going to heaven? He said, while on earth, I have this assurance that the Lord is present with me. The presence of the Lord comforts and strengthens him. I said, which verse of the Bible is that? He said, Psalm 23 verse 4. Yea, though I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, the very presence of God, there will be many struggles and difficulties. There will be rejections. People do not want to hear the gospel. When you come to them and tell them of the good news, they say, can you keep your religion to yourself? Sometimes I say, I wish I could, but I'm bubbling over with this great joy in my heart. How can I keep it to myself when I have something so good to share with you? Whether you receive it or not is another thing. But I am constrained by the love of Christ to share this gospel message with you. Whether you believe it or not, I want to tell you this. I have believed it, and it gives me so much joy, so much peace. You know, dearly beloved, many people do not believe that there is a God. And therefore, they don't believe that they need salvation in Jesus Christ. A story was told once about a very well-known professor who was very anti-Christian. One day, he gave a lecture. And in that lecture, he spoke all about the non-existence of God. At the end of the lecture, he asked the audience, is there anyone who has a question to ask? For a while he waited. There was no one. Suddenly a man stood up and he walked to the front and he stood in front of the audience. He did not ask a question. He started to peel an orange. The speaker at the side was very upset. I asked for people to ask questions and you come up peeling an orange. What are you trying to do? He was very agitated, but he just held his peace. He kept on peeling the orange until finally the whole orange was peeled and he started to eat the orange. And then he turned down to the speaker and he said, Mr. Speaker, is this orange sweet or sour? At that time, the speaker was so angry. Stupid idiot, he said, how can I know whether it's sweet or sour when I've not tasted it? And then he turned to the speaker and said, smilingly, by the same token, you have not tasted of the God I believe, the Father of Jesus Christ. How can you say He doesn't exist? I have tasted of Him, and He lives in my heart, and I'm rejoicing because I'm on my way to heaven. Dearly beloved, if you have tasted of the goodness of the Lord, be a witness for Him. Are you a good witness for Jesus Christ? Have you spoken to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ? God says here in His Word, I have created you. I have called you for my glory, that you become my witnesses. You are my hands and my feet. How can they hear if you don't speak a word for Jesus? Are you ashamed of Jesus? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Yes, I said, many of us are afraid to face objections, rejections. Why should we be when we are trying to share with someone a story that will save their life and give them an eternity with Christ? Nothing to be ashamed, nothing to be afraid. The world runs us down, but never mind. Let us be willing to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ, not to be ashamed, because God promises us that He will be with us as we pass through the waters, the difficult times when we are about to drown, the difficult times you are about to be swallowed up by the flames. You remember the three Hebrew children, how they refused to bow down to that golden image that was erected by King Nebuchadnezzar. Yes, the king gave them a second chance. He said, King, O king, we will not bow down. And what happened? The furnace was made 7 times hotter, and those that cast them in bound hands and feet together. They were scorched to death, but in the furnace, instead of 3, there were 4. The 4th being like the Son of God. You know what does the Bible say? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Psalm 34, verse 7. So wonderful to know that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about us that fear Him, that's not ashamed of Him, not afraid to proclaim His great name. So it is so wonderful that here at this camp, we can seek to encourage one another. Of course, there are moments of weakness, but let us pray that the Holy Spirit will unction us and give us the boldness. You remember Dr. Ferguson mentioned about the early church and how when the people suffered, they were beaten up, but they went away rejoicing. What did Paul say? He was willing to share in the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. Yes. Are we willing to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ? Never mind being ridiculed. Never mind being mocked at. Continue to witness a good confession of our faith. Dearly beloved, let us not be embarrassed about our faith. Let us be bold about our faith, that we can suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a privilege. In all these sufferings, God is not forgetful to reward His servant. He has called us to be His witnesses. Verse 10 says, Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me. Let us believe God, not in an academic way, in a personal, experientially, feeling Him and knowing Him in our hearts, that I may know Him, Paul says, and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable even unto death. Philippians 3:10. So wonderful, willing to identify ourselves with Him, because God continues, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. True or not? Yes. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. We all know that. In the words of Jesus, He makes His claim, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus, the one and only way to God. You have found Him, I have found Him. What are we doing about that? Are we His witnesses? We have experienced it in our own lives. The power of Christ has changed us. The power of Christ has transformed us and made us new creatures, given us a new hope, given us new priorities. Once upon a time, it was eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Now it is whether we eat or drink, and whatever we do, let all do it to the glory of God. Once upon a time, it was I. Now it is Christ. He must increase, but I must decrease. He must be magnified and glorified through my life, because we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. This is very important for us to understand. To be lights to shine for Him, to be the salt of the world, to be good witnesses to those round about us. And as we come to camp, as I say, this is just an appetizer. To whet your appetite for all the big dishes that will be served out to you. I want to end by sharing three thoughts with you. The first thought is found in Romans 13:11. Somebody who has given the verse, please stand up to read it loudly, please. Romans 13:11. Amen. And that knowing that the time, that now it is high time to what? Awake out of our sleep. We are not physically asleep. We are all spiritually asleep. We have not set our heart affections on things that count for eternity. We are chasing many times after the things of this world, forgetting about the things of eternity. We are not seeking first the kingdom of God. We are seeking to build our own kingdom on this earth. We are not storing up our treasures in heaven. We are storing up treasures on this earth. More properties, bigger cars, more savings. In themselves, there's nothing wrong. But what are our priorities? Are we storing up treasures in heaven? How are we giving to God for what He has given to us? Are we setting our heart's affections on things above, on things of this world? It is important for us to awake out of our spiritual slumber. All of us, some are half asleep, some are fully asleep, just going on Sunday after Sunday, just in a mechanical fashion. I think we must take stock at this camp to ask ourselves whether or not we are employing all that we have, the talents, the time, the testimony, the treasures that God has given to us for His glory. Let us awake out of our spiritual slumber and then go on for the Lord, because remember, the Lord Jesus is coming soon. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Christians in Corinth, spoke of the great gospel enterprise as the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is to what? To bring men who are lost into a right relationship with God. The relationship that was spoiled because of sin. But Jesus paid the price. We can be involved in this ministry, in this great enterprise of bringing those that are lost into God's kingdom. You and I are God's mouthpiece. Let us then awake out of our spiritual slumber and be up and about doing His work. The second thought, John 15:5. The next person, please read John 15:5. Amen. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. This enterprise entails us to abide in Christ, to get the power from Christ. In ourselves, we can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. But abiding in Him, the assurance is, we will bring forth much fruit for His glory. While we awake out of our spiritual slumber, let us also have this sense of dependence on Him. You know, daily, it is Amy and my prayer that we may always have a sense of dependence on Him and the determination and the discipline to do what God wants us to do. I stand before you as a testimony of God's mercy. The fact that I'm alive right now is because God in mercy has saved my life. On two occasions I was nearly gone, but God says you have still work to do. So back I am on earth, struggling with 30% of my heart function, but still going on. Going on, because the Savior says there is still work for you to do. Daily I abide in Him. Yes, I need so much more rest than days of old. Every time when I work, I feel tired. So I need to take rest. And then I get recharged and I go on. A brother from the Mandarin service was so encouraging. He says, "Elder, say, never mind. Your battery life is short, but keep on recharging," he said. "Keep on recharging." So that's what I'm doing, recharging all the time. Short battery life, but recharging all the time. Abiding in Him, and He in me, that I may bring forth much fruit for His glory. And the third thought is, Philippians 1:9. Amen. Paul prayed for the church in Philippi. What was his prayer? Not that they get more wealth, not that they are more successful in their business ventures, but their love may increase and abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment. How much do you love the Lord? Is your love abounding in the Lord? Abounding speaks of overflowing. You know, one of my favorite hymns is written by Elizabeth Prentice. I've shared this and I share it again. She wrote this hymn called "More Love to Thee, O Christ." She was a sickly lady and yet a godly lady who was able in her sickness, in her weakness, to live for the Lord. And in the third stanza she said, "Let sorrow do its work. Send grief and pain. Sweet are thy messengers, sweet their refrain. When they can sing with me, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee." Abounding in love. First we awake out of our spiritual slumber. And then we abide in Christ. For without Him we can do nothing. And then let us pray that our love for Christ may abound yet more and more. An appetizer that I'm dishing out tonight for you to pray and consider as we'll be fed more and more on God's Word in the days to come. Let us pray.